Euradio présente Europina Soundbite, l'Europe du laboratoire à la classe.
Euradio presents Europe in a Soundbite.
Hello everyone. Today in Europe in a Soundbite, we will be interested in light advertising in Western cities from the late 19th century to the present day.
What is light advertising?
This is an advertisement that uses a light source specially created for this purpose. Cut letters, neon tubes, diodes. In the 1950s, it was neon lettering on the walls of buildings indicating the names of major brands. Neons are now replaced by video screens, as can be seen at Times Square in New York. Posters illuminated by projection or transparency, which are found, for example, in lollipops of bus shelters, are not considered as light advertising.
Is this type of advertising display recent?
Not exactly. This technique is already over a century old, and you have to think about its history over the long term. Illuminated advertising appeared at the end of the 19th century in Western cities, at a time when electricity was still scarce and expensive. They consist firstly of incandescent lamps, bulbs, and neon luminescent tubes. Their advent is driven by rapid industrialization and urbanization, the development of new lighting technologies, and the nightly appropriation of the city by crowds. These growing cities, often concentrating political power and economic power, embody modernity.
What are these pioneering light cities?
New York is the cradle of this new form of advertising, and the first devices made in Europe from incandescent lamps are largely inspired by them. But neon luminescent tubes were developed by the French chemist Georges Claude in 1910. This discovery is like a second birth that reverses the direction of circulation of light advertising from France to the United States. The first neon device is installed on the roof of a building on Boulevard Haussmann in Paris. From 1915, Georges Claude began to exploit his patents worldwide, and in particular in the United States. In Europe, the northern countries were the first targeted, Belgium, Holland, and England, in the early 1920s, before the expansion of neon also reaches the south of the continent, Portugal and Italy. This period between the two wars represents the peak of European light advertising. Each capital has its own place or boulevard dedicated to this new form of communication. Piccadilly Circus in London, the Brucker Square in Brussels, or Potsdamer Platz in Berlin shine as soon as night fell by the name of the brands of sectors as varied as luxury goods, alcohol, or food.
This type of advertising has almost disappeared in Europe. Why?
The energy question partly explains this phenomenon. First, there were new, more restrictive regulations coming out of the Second World War. The same dynamic has crossed Europe, the mistrust of the public authorities towards neon lights. Oil shocks then forced most countries to reduce the duration of commercials. This crisis, coupled with the emergence of environmental concerns, affected all countries to call into question the light advertising. Today, there is a clear gap between the metropolis of the Gulf and the Far East, which are signs of their modernity, and European capitals that have disengaged gradually ban lighting advertising out of the city. In Paris, for example, it is mainly found today around the Ring Road.
Today, Europe in a Soundbite was designed by Virginie Chailloux-Atrousse from her own note on engagement in the European colonies in the 19th century, translated by Zoe Barnes and interpreted by Verity Crane. Find us on www.ehne.fr.
C'était Europe in a Soundbite.
That was Europe in a Soundbite. You can catch the show every Monday at 10 to 6 on EU Radio.
À retrouver tous les lundis à 17h50 sur Euradio.